Grace to you, mercy and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I have a long history in this congregation. You probably are going to get tired of hearing this, but I was 7 years old, barely. The first time I came into this building, it was in the evening, and my father was showing us the new church that he had just accepted a call to. And he turned on a single light in this room, and it lit up Jesus, and only Jesus. And he wanted us to see that. That was special. I thought from then that it was a stained glass window, and literally thought of that through my teenage years almost forever. It's only recently that I have been told that that's not just a picture of a skinny Jesus, yeah, but an image of Jesus's ascension. Maybe. We spent 7 years where my father was pastor in Frederick County, and there were churches all over the place with images of the ascending Jesus. And each of those images had clouds in them because they wanted to let you know that Jesus was going up. And sometimes you would see an image with Jesus with his head right below the clouds, sometimes with Jesus's lower half engaged in the clouds, and every once in a while some smart aleck would draw a picture with just Jesus's feet. That's kind of strange, don't you think? Well, am I correct in assuming that you know the parable of the prodigal son? The story of the younger son who gathers up everything, demanding his inheritance to carry himself to distant lands in search of wealth, only to lose all of it. I have long thought that most of the people in the congregations to whom I was a pastor likely described themselves as the older son, the son who spent his life doing his duty for his family and expecting to be rewarded in time. I have come to realize that not only were they all older sons, but I am among them, prepared to do our duty over and over and over again, but too impatient often with the apparent generosity of God's love for people who maybe just didn't deserve it. This morning, it is the older son, the reliable brothers, who are described by Luke in the book of Acts. They have followed Jesus faithfully, these disciples. They have left their homes, they have left their jobs, yes, that nets, and families to follow the itinerant preacher carrying his healing, preaching all over Judea and Galilee and all the way to the Transjordan, passing through Samaria, where they were challenged over and over again by those who wanted no parts of this crazy messenger, who wanted something strange from them, who had their own lives overturned to bring hope to the hopeless. They have survived, the disciples, the arrest of Jesus. They have picked up and tried by the religious and political leaders of Judea, who turned them over to the Roman occupying armies, who crucified him. Can you imagine those older son types going into hiding, praying that they would escape the worst, scared to death by the shadow of the cross? It had to seem that all was lost, that everything they had thought they accomplished was a failure, until Jesus appeared on Easter Sunday. He appeared to them surprising and taught them again and again, and then disappeared only to appear again. Something was afoot when he appeared some 40 days later to a gathered group of the disciples. They asked him in typical older brother fashion. They asked him, "Lord, is it time now? You will restore the kingdom of Israel and get us everything we've been fighting for?" When he charged them, "It's up to you to finish what was begun. You will receive power from the Holy Spirit who has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and across the Jordan. To the very ends of the earth, it will be your task to finish the job. It will be up to you to complete what we began. You will receive gifts from the Holy Spirit and given powers, but it will up to you. I hear that beckoning for us to pick up the task, to reach out with gifts of faith and trust, to feed and heal a broken creation with the gift of love and the trust of faith. I think about the ministries of this congregation. I think about the Saturday mornings with loaves and fishes and the people who appear here constantly in desperate need to challenge the faith of God's people. I hear that beckoning call to us to reach out with gifts of faith and trust. Eventually, he will come into your midst, he promises. You saw him go, but in the meantime, it is your task to pick up the job of caring for a broken world, to teach with open hands love in your hearts that form here among the countless witnesses of all of God's people will be empowered to see beyond the greed and the fear that is so familiar in our world and know that God is always and will always be the final word. So my relatively simple charge this morning is go forth, you older brothers and sisters. Go forth with the promise that God walks by you, that we will see and we will give to the world around us the justice of love that is the risen one, who will come with love and charity in his hand For that is who Jesus is, the gift of the Father to a world in desperate need of healing and wholeness, of plenty and of life, of care and of love. The sharing of that is up to you and up to me, that the world may know that the Savior of the world comes in your hearts and in your hands. In his holy name, amen.